Well, I think that there remains need for further improvements to that bill. You know, while it is, while I view it as flawed, I think that there were many good elements to it. So I think that today's decision was a victory for Americans everywhere. You know, I think that the good parts of the bill, such as allowing your children to stay on your policy until they're 26 and filling the donut hole so that our senior citizens on Medicare can get the prescriptions that they need, and not excluding people who have pre-existing conditions. You know, those are the types of elements that you need in a good healthcare system. So I'm glad that the whole thing wasn't torn apart, but there remains room certainly for substantial improvement, because ultimately what the Affordable Care Act did was provide 32 million more customers for private health insurance industry, whose number one mission is not providing health care. Their number one mission is to maximize investor return. And so, you know, to continue with a healthcare system that has to pay up to a 40% surtax, if you will, to the private health insurance industry, that takes that sum of money out of our healthcare system rather than leaving it there for individuals or small business people or healthcare providers. You know, I think that's not good for our economy, and it's not good for our healthcare. So, you know, there's good parts to what got okayed today by the Supreme Court, but certainly it's just a step on the way to a far better healthcare system that'll make everybody far more healthy and far more wealthy.
You've been supporting a model, essentially Medicare for All, a government-run system that would be structured along the lines of Medicare?
Right. Well, I think I wouldn't necessarily call it government-run. It would be Uncle Sam would serve as the bank, as he does with Medicare. You know, people would be free to choose their own doctors and their own hospitals. You know, it wouldn't be like the private health insurance industry, which, because of their need to maximize profit, they tell people who they can go see and where they can go to receive their care. Uncle Sam's in Medicare not to make a profit, and Uncle Sam's able to run Medicare efficiently and well for an overhead that is approximately 3 to 4%. You know, a drastically smaller number than what we pay when we pay that 40% surtax to the private health insurance industry for a product that, frankly, doesn't serve people very well. You know, well over half of the medical bankruptcies occur amongst those who had insurance, who thought that they were okay. And so we've bowed down before the private health insurance industry for far too long here in America. And my hope is that the Affordable Care Act is but the first step toward taking our health care back and leaving it to the American patients and the American healthcare providers to do what's best.
Now, I'm struck. I spoke earlier today with your Republican opponent, Rodney Davis.
Uh-huh.
He seems to support some of the same points that you mentioned in the Affordable Care Act. Of course, he wants to repeal that act, and he says that it can be replaced with a market-based solution that would certainly be nothing like a government-financed program. Why won't his approach work?
Well, his approach is what the status quo has been. You know, and the status quo has us dying at the rate of one American dying every 12 minutes just because they lack private health insurance. And I don't understand how he can make those two statements, Jim, how he can say he likes some provisions of the Affordable Care Act, but he wants to repeal the bill. You know, the two, you know, I've been saying with regards to putting those two statements together, that's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So, you know, that's one of their talking points, that they want to repeal Obamacare. And the American public, when they know what's in Obamacare, these are things that they like and want to keep. And so, you know, if he's talking about a market-based solution, that's what we've been living with for decade after decade in this country. And we have to, it crushes us economically. We're not able to compete with the rest of the world who have a healthcare system that provides for all of their citizens. Instead, here in America, we have to spend $1,500 extra dollars to build a vehicle, the same, you know, relative to the same automobile being produced in another country. And like I said, there's still far too many people being left out, and there's still far too many people going bankrupt, and even those who think that they have sufficient insurance wind up, you know, homeless in many cases, you know, bankrupt because their insurance wasn't sufficient. Because the insurance company, their concern is not about your health or your pocketbook. It's about their pocketbook.
Now, I just want to get on the point. You want to go farther than what this law already has. Can you give me a couple of examples of where the Affordable Care Act falls short for you as far as how it will be providing health care in the future when it's fully
Certainly.
Implemented?
Yeah, well, you know, you use the term farther. I would say I want to go, you know, in a sort of sideways, I would say. You know, I don't approve of, forcing American citizens to purchase a shoddy private health insurance product. I don't want to force them to buy anything more along those lines. I want them to have the availability of Medicare. I think that we need a public option in there, which would extend the benefits of Medicare to more American citizens. So that's the big difference between what we're talking about.
If you get elected, is it going to be an uphill battle? You already have this law in place. Republicans will be trying very hard to get it repealed, but yet you want to go, you'll be pushing to go in another direction. Do you think that there's going to be support for that in Congress?
Certainly, because, you know, I think that many people recognize the shortfalls of the Affordable Care Act, you know, that many people view it as, you know, as nothing more than a first step toward what we ultimately need here in America. And so I think there will be definitely an audience for that. I think everybody's interested in the economics of our country, and healthcare and the economy are so intertwined that, you know, it represents a huge step toward restoring the economy here in America, were we to do healthcare right. When you extend Medicare to all American citizens, you put so much more money back into the economy that you immediately have the wherewithal to create literally 3 million new jobs. There's a study done by the National Nurses United that demonstrated that. You have the ability to prop up small business people and get people back to work, and you know, to throw away, you know, 35-40% of our healthcare dollars to something that's not productive for anybody other than a smattering of the CEOs of United Healthcare those types of individuals, you know, is a grave mistake for us economically. So I certainly, extending that economic argument, I think we'll be able to have broad appeal that goes to both sides of the aisle.
Well, Dr. Gill, thank you very much for talking with me about this. I'm sure you'll be talking about it a lot more as the campaign goes on.
You bet. Well, thank you for the opportunity, Jim.